Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Join the Indigenous Voices of Women every Friday and Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Hear the rise of Indigenous women's voices individually and collectively and what matters to us. Welcome to Indigenous Voices of Women across Turtle Island. Today is Saturday, February 19th, 2022. My name is Bernice Seminole, and I am Northern Arapaho. The guest call-in number is area code 657-383-1630. Caller area code 360, could you come on and say your name?
Hi, my name is Maury Sanchez. I'm a member of the Nisqually Indian Tribe in Washington State, Lithia, Washington.
What was your first name?
Maury, like the Maury Show?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, welcome to the show. And you're calling from Washington, and you're in Nisqually. Okay. So what's on your mind tonight? I know last night, as a recap for the audience, I don't know if you listened to the show last night.
No,
but
one of my Facebook friends told me about this.
Yeah. So last night,
that's why I would call in.
Yeah, so last night, as a recap of what was said last night, and they wanted to continue the topic tonight was the truckers' protest. So somebody said last night the truckers' protest was going to go from California all the way to Washington, D.C., and so they warned for everybody to start gathering food and, you know, the things that they needed, because I don't know how long this is going to go on. So there was a grandmother from the Blackfeet Reservation, and she wanted to talk about tonight the impact that protest is going to have on the reservations. And today I was thinking it's really going to impact all of the small villages across Alaska, because they depend on the freight that comes in. So, you know, they're really going to be in a bind. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of an eye-opening. I wish I'd listened to that. But this trucker protest, you know,
yeah,
that could put a damper on everything in the United States. You know, you can see... You can tell by the gas prices here in Washington, man, we're paying over $4. And food prices have gone up, I noticed. And even in restaurants, you know, prices have gone up. But, you know, as Indigenous people, we got to stop relying on Walmart, being Walmart Indians, you know. I've seen many gardens sprout up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, we have our own tribal garden that we use and the elders use that – you know, we're starting to grow our own food, and we're fishing Indians, and we got to start canning. You know, I've lived in Canada, and, you know, I've lived in Northern Arapaho, Fort Waskey, and stuff like, you know, different areas, but them Canadians, they really take their salmon serious, and they can their own stuff, you know, can their own meat, they can their own fish, they dry fish, and, hey, I don't know. It's scary about this trucker protest.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what they're protesting about.
The mandates. That's what they're protesting. The mandates. Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're essential. You know, they're just, you know, you've seen. I don't know. People have seen store shelves go empty and, you know, people panic buying all the toilet paper and food, and, you know, they're hoarding. And, God, if the truckers just boycotted for a week, we'd be just freaking out. Or they would be freaking out. Somebody.
Everybody would. The whole country would.
Yeah.
The truckers are going to bring this country to its knees, and they're going to bring everything to a standstill. And, you know, I was trying to get a friend of mine online tonight, because on his reservation, he's starting a food garden where he plants vegetables and fruits, and it's for the community because we have such a high base of diabetes all over. And so that is kind of what he's gearing towards with, and he doesn't want to do this under the tribe. He doesn't want to do this under a church. He doesn't want to do this with federal monies. He's starting all on his own, coming out of his own pocket. And yesterday or the day before, I seen on Facebook where somebody actually sent him $50 to help buy garden seed. So he's getting this up and running. It probably will be slow for him, but I figured he would like to come on and talk about his project that he's doing on the Fort Peck Reservation up in northern Montana. And, you know, because this kind of ties into what we're talking about tonight, the trucker protest and where that leaves reservations, because everybody is going to be hard hit. And reservations are pretty poor. And so it's going to impact that. It's going to impact the villages all across Alaska. And so food sovereignty would tie into this as well, this topic tonight. So area code 918, would you like to come on and say your name? 918?
Yeah, this is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
From what I'm hearing about that protest, they're starting to break it up and truckers are leaving.
Really?
Yeah, and they've been arresting some. There was even one report I watched on the news. I guess it happened several days ago. They found white nationalists up there with weapons and ammunition up there at that protest.
So where did this, where were the truckers at? Where was their location?
Right there down in the heart of the city by the Iowa government buildings.
And what state are you calling from?
Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. And what tribe are you?
So I think my personal opinion on this is these truckers are being manipulated by a underlining covert movement, and they're just being used. And I feel sorry for these truckers because they're getting cited. They're getting arrested. They're having their insurance cut off. And when this protest is over, they're the ones going to be paying the price for all this that's going on.
So how do you think it's going to impact your community?
Well, if it keeps going on and if America pulls up a convoy, it's going to put everybody at a standstill with all types of products.
Well, Maury, we're still waiting for a whole bunch of other callers to call in, and nobody is calling in yet. So maybe you can go ahead and pick a topic that you wanted to bring up tonight.
Well, I was hearing you about the man up there with the seeds. I just want to say this and That's good what I hear, that they want to do that for the community and nothing, you know, to come back of it, but to help the community. That's self-reliance.
Yes, it sure is.
That's
you
good.
Know,
that's
I what. Invited, I actually invited a tribal council member to come on and just even to listen and maybe talk and give some opinion or some insight. You know, how this is going to affect my reservation. And again, you know, nobody wants to talk. Nobody wants to get involved. And this is not and that's, you know, kind of like where it's at now. But, you know, when
We all know the scoop. I think we all know the scoop for a tribal council sitting every tribe in this country. they don't really help the people.
No, they sure don't.
They don't, and that's why we're even, there's some out here that want to move towards that self-reliance, because it's either join the crowd, the IRA crowd, or, you know, get shit on. Pardon my language, but that's what I'm seeing goes on.
Yeah. Okay, so Maury, would you like to bring up a topic?
Any topic or?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man, we can go on. Okay, I like to say something. I thought when I first heard this, you know, it was human rights, you know. What is human rights? I was already planning, like, trying to, you know, figure out a few little things to say, but, you know. All right, I'll reintroduce myself. My name is Maury Sanchez. My Indian name is Chichatuit. It comes from a next-door tribe to us. It's Cowlitz Indian Nation. It means grizzly bear, and, you know, we are the Squally Ops people, the people of the water, people of the grass. And the Squally was the, what do you call it, battleground for the fishing wars. And if you, you know, any of you guys listening know a guy named Billy Frank Jr.? He was the voice of the salmon, you know, voice of the people. And Washington State, we passed a bill. You know, each state has two representatives in the House of Statues. Well, we removed one of those statues that was Whitman. You know, he brought the pox over to the Spokane people, and they killed him. But he was in there. But Billy Frank's replacing him, and he'll be in the, you know, House of Statues. They're working on the statue as we speak. This was passed last year. And, you know, Billy Frank, like the voice of the environment, he's been arrested over 50 times. He was exonerated of all charges. And, you know, the salmon to us is like the buffalo to the plainsman, you know. Once that buffalo disappeared, it took their spirit. And he fought for that right to just a fish to be who we are. You know, our way of life, you know, they try to take our identity away, and it's the salmon. And, you know, we fight to preserve the salmon. We have we have like three hatcheries that we raise salmon. So we can, I don't know, they're not natural anymore. They're just hatchery spawn. But, you know, Billy Frank Jr. has done a lot for Indian country. And, you know, he's met a bunch of different presidents, and he was nominated for, or not nominated, he won the Medal of Freedom, you know, from Barack Obama and stuff like that. And, you know, the right for clean water, clean air, that's what he believed in, you know. That's a human right. You know, everybody that deserved clean water, clean air, you know, without clean water, I mean, you know, I was there in Standing Rock, you know, fighting for that water, you know, the oil rights and, you know, these guys to make change, you know. We gotta save this planet, you know. This is the only planet we got, and, you know, where are we gonna go when, you know, everything's gone, you know? We'll be buying our water for like $5 a gallon pretty soon. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're just listening.
Oh, yeah, it's kinda neat, you know. You know, I got a, you know, Facebook friend, you know, I was trying to put out my tournament, you know. I'm having a tournament Memorial Day weekend, high school and high school boys and girls, and this is the first time doing something like this. And I kind of want traveling teams. I want really good teams to come. You know, if you guys out there listening got a high school boys and girls team, we'll be feeding all 3 days, breakfast and dinner, you know, to help, you know, cut them costs. And we won't be feeding whale or seal or nothing like that, but we will be doing a salmon bait. You know, we don't eat the whales. Yeah, I wouldn't even know what it tastes like. But I don't know. I just sharing a little bit of, you know, what my history is about and what, you know, what type we are. We're located in Olympia, Washington, bottom of the Puget Sound. You know, we were the first ones to be how you say it, they started with us first, and then they worked around everybody else. And we're a pretty small tribe, you know. We do take care of our elders and stuff, you know. We're fortunate, you know, because we're small, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, I think we got less than 1,000 people. I think we got down to like the last 30 members of our tribe, and we just grew from there. We had big families, and, you know, they took all our land. We're in the middle of a military base. So across the river, they shoot off all these big bombs, shoot the machine guns, and, you know, the only thing good about that is that it's so contaminated that they can't build nothing on it, you know. And it's pretty much the way it was, except for the trees, though. We didn't have trees. We burnt the prairies down to keep the trees from, you know, growing for our medicines and stuff, like pretty much every other tribe that did. You know, keep the trees in check. Now we're full of trees. And these trees ain't even that old. They're like 80, 90 years old around here. But that's a little bit of my history. And we still continue to stand up for, murdered, missing indigenous women. Well, we got a lot of missing women, Native women here in Washington State. I guess Seattle's pretty high up there, and trafficking and stuff like that. And, you know, my prayers go out to all the, you know, people that are going through COVID. You know, we got hit hard, too. And our prayers are with you in the indigenous country. You know, I pray that this virus goes away soon so we can go back to normal. You know, we isolated ourselves pretty much the best we could, and we still got it.
Yeah, we do. But thanks for sharing your history with everybody. I remember the fishing wars. I was a teenager up there in Seattle during the fishing war era, and I remember going to Frank's Landing as a teenager. I got to meet a lot of people there, and so we had the fishing wars up in Washington during that time, and right now we have Dene grandmothers in New Mexico that are fighting helium. So area code 505, could you come on and tell us your name, please?
Ursula Young. I'm Ursula Young from Santa Fe.
Oh, welcome, Ursula.
Thank you.
Is there something you want to say?
I just jumped on. I didn't hear what was really going on.
Well, we have a new speaker. His name is Maury Sanchez. He's Nisqually from Washington State. And he was kind of giving us a brief history about his tribe, his area, the land base, the size of it. He was talking about the fishing wars up there at Frank's Landing back in the 70s. He touched base on MMIW. That was pretty high in the state of Washington. And just so you know, Maury, I'm well aware of Washington House Bill 1571. And I read up on a little bit of it because we had a lady from Seattle area. Her name is Prima Valenzuela. She came on three weekends ago, and she brought this up. And I asked for information, but I didn't get any. So I inboxed my niece up in Seattle because she works in that area. And so I asked her if she could send me some information. So I read up a little bit on it. So that's kind of what happened. So area code 415, do you want to come on and say your name and where you're calling from? Area code 415. Okay, Ursula, back to you. You don't answer. Ursula. I hear your blinker.
You hear my blinker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm driving. We're going to watch Chief Leschi Warriors. Chief Leschi was our chief, you know, he was he battled, you know, those guys in Seattle, and you know, he come in for, you know, treaty talks, you know. And he was hung, you know, they hung him. They arrested him first, and they had a hung, you know, I don't know, they had a hung jury. But then they had another trial, and they found him guilty, you know, for killing somebody in battle. And they had a history-making court case over 150 years later, you know, exonerating Chief Leschi, you know, of murder. You know, it was good for the people, but, you know, how do you get charged for murder in battle, you know? And they exonerated him. But we're going to a high school game, Chief Leschi, the school's, you know, playing for our district. Just like I see Indian teams from all over the country, you know, everybody's in playoffs, and we're here to support the school and some of my relatives that are on that team. And I just want to give out shout out to all the Indian nations that are out there and people that are struggling with their addictions. You know, I was there once, and I made it, you know. There is a new path if you change your path, you know. Get off that dark road and get on the red road. And, you know, shout out to everybody that's clean and sober. You know, we have a really bad heroin problem, and it just seems like, you know, our tribe's looking the other way, you know. It's like, you know, you see these guys walking around like zombies, and, you know, they're not doing anything about it, you know. They just arrest them, and then they let them out, and not forcing them to go to treatment or anything, or try to help themselves, or even to try to help them. You know, that's all over. I mean, I watched this meth problem explode and disappear. Then the heroin came in, and now it's that ugly stuff that fentanyl. You know, we had a couple ODs on that. My nephew OD'd. You know, he was a smart kid, and, you know, he got his 18 money and just thought he was king of the world. And now he's running around, or now he's in jail, which is good, you know, good for him. But I just hope he stays that way, you know, just comes out with, you know, comes out in a positive way, you know. It's sad that you have to have somebody locked up in jail just to save them, you know. It's, you know, that's a good thing, but who knows? You know, shout out to all our locked up indigenous people that are in there. There's plenty. This is my first time on the radio and talking like this. I'm not really much of a talker. I'm kind of more of a stand back and listen, follow, but I'm the voice of our people when it comes to singing songs and stuff. You know, there's a thing called, we have a big indigenous gathering called the Canoe Dreams, and we had ours in 2016. We have tribes from New York, California, Oregon, even Idaho one, you know. Everybody had some sort of water transportation to get across, you know, lake, river, whatever. But we have ocean going canoes, and we had like 90 some canoes coming to Olympia, Washington, the capital of Washington. And we had a potlatch for like over 7 days where each tribe comes up and sings their songs. And I'm pretty much the main singer for our group. And this year is supposed to be in Muckleshoot. So anybody out there that want to see any Coast Salish, coastal, Alaskan natives, You know, they're more than welcome to come. You know, we have like 17,000 people show up on the first day, and then it kind of thins out as we sing our protocol. We sing and dance all our songs. We share stories, tell stories, and I don't know. That's where I do all my talking on the floor, kind of, you know, tradition over addiction, you know. That's what kind of saved me was Tribal Journeys.
Okay, thank you, Maury. Ursula, would you like to come on and talk about something? Jenny hasn't called in yet. I've been texting her. She's not answering.
She's the one that told me to call.
Yeah, the other one, the other ladies from New Mexico, they're not calling in. So there's something
so you
want to spearhead right at the moment. Ursula? Ursula?
I talked her to sleep.
I don't know. So area code 415. Do you want to come on and say your name? Area code 415. Ursula?
How many listeners we got tonight?
Three.
Is that all?
Yep.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the elder neglect on these reservations with the elderly people, with the neglect of housing, nutrition, medical care. We got some issues with some elders with the neglect of housing not being properly kept up. There are a couple burnt down due to electrical issues, heating problems. We need to form something that we can get on these tribal council and tell them to they need to bring these houses up to date and safely for all these elders. They don't need to be being displaced by fires, no heat, and something to be addressed about that. We need to get people on board to help. Is there any other tribes out there, anybody listening, experiencing that with their elders?
We don't have, I'm 54, and our elder status is like 55, but since it's my birth year, I got to sign up, and like you said, we're kind of a small tribe, so our elders kind of get
a lot. I'm mainly speaking right now for the Pine Ridge. There's some things coming out there that they're just, you know, there's been two recently houses burned down. And it sounded like it was due to improper electrical maintenance. Their stoves and, I mean, just generalized, the housing is not maintenance kept up, and these elderly need that. And it's not happening with these tribes, and, you know, we need to get some people together and start calling these tribes to get on them, because there's funding money there that they're supposed to be allocating for that, and it's not being done, so where's the money going to?
Well, you elder problem can and talk.
What?
Go ahead.
I don't know, I heard somebody say something. I was just saying what?
I know, I heard the other one say something, but...
Speak. Sorry if my daughter told me that my name was called. Someone was at my door, and I was trying to do that, and then be here speaking on the elders thing. The elders are suffering all over. And last week I was on the AIM show and some guy got on and was talking about the elders all passing away. And some of them traditional guys spoke in Lakota and then they interpreted it and said that the reason the elders are leaving is because they're not responding. We're not taking care of them. So, I mean, I believe that. My mom just passed away, and it was real hard for me to get my sisters to come in and help because our elders are suffering. They are suffering terribly. But it has to do with modern-day world. We're not looking at our elders the way they are. And in a traditional way is what them guys in the AIM show was talking about, why they're leaving. Because we don't respect them, we don't respect them, we don't talk to them. They don't have they're not there doing what they were meant to be doing. And that was helping us, you know, guiding us. But we don't look at them like we used to. Some of us don't, not everyone, but some of us don't. And that was a big issue that we had conversation before about how come our elders are leaving us. But I believe that because we're not honoring them, we're not respecting them, we're losing what we needed to give to the elders for them to give back to us, to give that knowledge back to us. We didn't give them respect. We didn't take care of them. We're putting them in nursing homes. We're forgetting about them in the white man's world. I just had this whole big fight about my mom. I called on her tribe, the Santee tribe, and talked to the tribal chairman, the vice chair, and they're like, oh, we have this law. If any of our elders anywhere in the United States go into a nursing home, their address automatically goes back to the reservation. And then the social service department at the Santee tribe said that, oh, we can't do anything because they're out of our jurisdiction. So then I brought that law up to her, and I even gave it to her and told her, well, my mom is in your jurisdiction because she's in a nursing home. Well, I had power of attorney over my mom, and then this white man's system said they wasn't going to honor their own paper. Say they wasn't going to honor that I was her power of attorney. So then they took my mom, and I fought tooth and nail for my mom. Fought tooth and nail, you know, this pandemic went on, and then they locked my mom up in that nursing home, said I couldn't even talk to her. I went, and then later on they gave us visitation through the window. But I was upset. What my point of this is, I even went to the tribes. We're supposed to be, you know, the mighty Sioux Nation, powerful Sioux Nation or whatever. We're supposed to be looking over our elders and our children. We're not doing that. Then I was being kicked around by the white man system down here in Santa Fe, telling me I wasn't nothing. I wasn't treating my mom good. I wasn't taking care of her good enough the way the white man thought I should. That's why I went to her tribe. I even went to my tribe, Pine Ridge, and talked to them, was pissed off, crying. Help me with my mom. We're supposed to be honoring our elders. How do we fix that part of this white man system in this United States where things like this, I reached out to everyone, Chinupa and everyone. No one could help me. They just took my mom just like they take our kids. And that's where my point was when I was trying to raise hell, and I'm still trying to raise hell about the elder issue because my mom's gone now. All right, we lose our elders faster when they go into the nursing homes, and I was pissed off. My mom would cry and through the window when I was talking to her, cry, I don't want to be here. Why am I here? And I'm locked in here and I have to stay here. I didn't do nothing wrong and I'm in jail. And then I would be pissed off because I heard my mom's tears and heard her crying, and I would go and I'd be fighting, but I was fighting by myself. How do we help each other do these things? Because I yelled as loud as I could to everyone I could, but no one was there to help me. So I lost my mom. I feel like because of everything that was going on in the system and with the pandemic and my mom feeling like she was put in jail, and then this white man system here in New Mexico, and then there was Mexicans that was trying to help me, and then they told me, oh, we have that in our Mexican culture, and it's called this, 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 and that. And then I would get mad at the Mexican people working for the white man system. You're only there. You're not fucking helping us. You're not helping us. Sorry, I cussed, but, you know, I was upset, and I'm still upset because I lost my mom. And then it's proven that once our elders go into that nursing home, then we lose them faster. We lose them faster.
It takes their spirit away when they do that, you know. You know, some of these elders have gone from boarding schools to elders, you know, or to nursing homes like that, or, mm-hmm. you know, forced to be in there. I could see that happening, or I've seen it happening, you know. You know, they call it elder abuse. They're not taking care of them right. And it only takes one phone call, and then, bam, you know, they believe whoever, you know, that turned them in, and they take the grandparent away, you know, because, you know, the one I know was, her name was Maisel Bridges. She was part of that Fish War, too, and she was in her 90s. She was, you know, losing her memory and stuff like that, and she wasn't able to take care of herself, and then somebody turned her in. Then we have this other one that it took a long time before somebody stepped up and said, hey, man, you need to take care of our elder. She's running around thinking people are after her, and she's all dirty and doesn't look like she's been fed, and it took a long time for them just to get power of attorney, and we're lucky we didn't lose her to a home, you know. You know, homes are about money, you know. It's a business, you know. Yeah, they want to keep you alive, but it doesn't mean they have to treat you right. You know, first ever home I ever seen was when I moved to Fort Washakie in 89, and they had kind of like a little senior home thing where they took care of their own. I thought it was kind of cool, but, you know, we're supposed to take care of our elders. You know, there are story keepers, you know, they're our teachers, you know. You know, they got the teachings of the old ones. You know, the old ways, and putting them in the homes is wrong, you know, and being forced, you know, my heart goes out to you. I wouldn't even know how to help you, you know. You know, lawyers, you know, you pay big money, you know. Natives don't have big money to fight to get their grandma out of jail. That's what, you know, she's right, though. She probably does feel like she's
lockdown. Area code 406, would you like to come on and say your name? 406?
Oh, sorry, that's me, Jenny. It's a Jenny calling in Montana.
Jenny Mini Hearts?
Yeah.
That's Maury. Hello. Kodachi.
Oh, hey, hi.
I called.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah, go ahead and continue a little bit.
I'm just happy you invited me to call, you know. If you don't mind, I'm going to pass this number around. You guys are here at 4 o'clock every Saturday?
And Friday.
Yes, we are.
Friday and Saturday. I got other people that are, you know, missing, you know, we got one lady head of the Missing and Murdered up here in Seattle chapter. She does a lot of work for, you know, indigenous women. You know, they do a lot of groundwork up here. And they do a lot of the protesting, you know. So, you know, I don't know, Trump, when Trump signed that bill, I thought it was kind of cool. I didn't know what his thing was, but I noticed under Trump that a lot of these guys were getting busted for sex rings. Now you don't hear that no more. I don't know. Trump might have been a racist, but they sure did a lot against child trafficking. And now I don't see that no more as I used to. Go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, when you guys are talking about nursing homes, you know, a lot of people would always tell us, you know, even when I go to the hospital a lot of times, if they don't let them put you in a nursing home, you know, one lady was telling me, a young Native lady, don't let them put you in a nursing home, you know, because I had to go get some rehab, you know. And I tell her, well, why you guys keep telling me that? She said, I don't want you to go in there because most of our people that go into these nursing homes, there's two nursing homes that she mentioned. She said, and they always never come back, you know. And I go, well, why is that? What are they doing, you know? Why is it that they're dying like that? because like four members, including two of my own family members, had died in those nursing homes within 2 months.
Damn.
So that young lady told me, she said she feels it because there's lack of care, you know. There's not enough workers, and, you know, a lot of our people end up dying because of that, you know. Yeah. I said, well, why are they not taking care of our people, you know? Why do they keep dying? And, you know, geez. So, yeah, we hear a lot about the nursing homes, you know. And I worked at a facility myself in Salem before. There were 2 units, and I worked in both of them at the time. And they were all white people, you know. And these are all bedridden people. Some weren't. And it was sad because there would be one lady that would come in and see her mom on a weekend, but she would always come in after she was leaving, coming back from the bar, and she'd stop in there and like she'd kind of be drunk and want to see her mom. And, you know, finally we got to where we told her she can't be doing that, otherwise they would call the cops on her. But it was sad because they put them in there and they don't come back to see them, you know? You know? We didn't come back to see them. The only one lady her family would come in and see her at the time, but the rest of them, no, nobody. But besides the nursing homes, I don't know what else you guys are talking about before I got on, because I'm late here. we were talking about a lot of things yesterday. And one of the things I wanted to continue to talk about is this reality what's going on as far as this convoy that's supposed to be taking place here on our side, or going on the Canada side, and how that's going to bring a food shortage to us for, you know, a while they're doing this convoy. And that's what really kind of, you know, it makes me concerned about our people, because I know our people on a reservation, especially up here in Montana, they're not ready for any of that. They're still out, you know, I know people like, you know, the white man's education and stuff like that, and, you know, the sports and all that, but that's what they're still doing all of that and not even realizing, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to take place, you know. They're not prepared for anything. Huh? So that's what really concerns me about, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, you try to share with them about these things, you know, that's going to take place and what, but majority of people don't want to listen. They really don't want to listen because they're afraid of reality. So they don't listen to it because they're afraid of it, you know. They want to still go out and enjoy all this stuff that they've been doing all this time, you know, and a lot of them say, I don't want to pay attention to politics of this and that. And I tell them, well, you're living in a political world, so you better start paying attention, because today it has a lot to do with our rights. You know? A lot of human rights are being violated every day on our reservation and off our reservation. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that we have to look at. Then we have to look at how are we going to fix ourselves. You know, there's a lot that's going on within our own people that they're violating even our traditional laws and protocols of doing things and what. They violate that, you know, a lot now because they found a way to make money again, you know. And that's sad that our own people are using our ceremonial ways, everything that has to do with us, to make a dollar now. So I feel that's hurting us. It hurts us in a lot of ways when they do that. But how do we, As the women today, I say, you know, because of the matriarch, how do we put a stop to all of that spiritual abuse that is really bad? Like a lot of our people, times say they don't want their children or anything to do with the ceremonial ways because of a lot of these people that are going out and using it in the wrong way. So when I look at people that do that, they're supposed to be our spiritual people, our spiritual guiders, our spiritual advisors, you know, to help us, you know. And I don't see them helping us in any way when they're out doing that, because now they look at the woman as being less. You know, they think like white men, you know, towards us women today. And it's bad enough that we're already the target, you know. So there's a lot that we need to wake up to and realize that only we can change it. Only we can do it. So I don't know what part of the conversation you guys want to talk about next.
Well, before you got on, Jenny, I was talking with Maury, and I guess I kind of like was overthinking, and it, you know, because I'm half Eskimo, and my people are from Alaska, and my people also live off the land, and you know, with this trucker protest, that's really gonna hinder a lot of the villages up in Alaska. And even though that they live off the land, you know, there's some things that they're going to need, you know, toilet tissue, toothpaste, toiletries, things like that, sugar. And so this is really going to hurt the Alaskan villages up there pretty bad, just as well as the reservations down here in the lower 48. So yeah, that is a big concern because I got a lot of family up there. I got some family in Wyoming, you know, and what I know for 40 years, I have been hearing, oh, food sovereignty. We're going to do this. We're going to plant corn. We're going to plant wheat. We're going to be self-sustaining. But that's never happened because each tribal council that comes in, they don't follow through with what they promise or what their ideas are. Even after they get out of council, nobody ever follows through with any of their ideas. And, you know, with this truckers' protest, that's really going to put everybody in a really big bind. And, you know, food sovereignty, I just think we should push that issue so much more because we can be self-sustaining. We can grow our own foods. We can hunt our own foods. We can dry our own foods. We can. There's everything at our fingertips that we can do to get out from under the government and be independent. That's kind of what I was thinking. So that's just my thought.
You saying that, Bernice? This is Ursula again.
Yeah.
You saying that, Bernice? The government has done everything it could for us to have to depend on. So many of our people, we don't care. We don't care. Oh, they're going to bring us. I was just having this conversation about Christmas time for Pine Ridge. People just wait in Pine Ridge for the churches and everyone to bring Christmas and bring whatever into the reservations at that time. And then get people that are bringing in donations, take them something, you know, because they're using Pine Ridge as, you know, the poorest county in the United States. I'm from Pine Ridge. I don't want to be known as the poorest county in the United States. I'm Ogallala Lakota, and I know I'm a strong Sioux woman. And
you know, that's the same thing that St. Labre does to the Northern Cheyenne. They put pictures all over the world, all across the United States, and they say to donate, 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 because people, you know, the Northern Cheyennes are so poor. So it's kind of like that, too.
Yeah. We're they kind of say, oh, we're poor, they're going to bring us stuff. But that's what I feel like they put in our people's heads. Oh, we're going to have all this stuff come in for Christmas. But at the same time, I've been in Pine Ridge when these trailers, their tractor trailers come in and they drop them off. It's like, poo, they'll bring laundry soap, they'll bring toothpaste and toothbrushes or whatever. And then in all of the housings, that's all you see all over the ground. That's all you see, all the trash, all over the shampoo bottles, the whatever they bring to us. And then I want to know how do, well, I tell, I don't want to know that, but how do we get our people to just work? I mean, there's so many housing options we're in Pine Ridge, but the guys are too lazy to get up and walk through the road to get a ride into town to try to go to work. And not upset. We just want to sit there and wait for something to come to us. When we wasn't that way before, we were all strong nations. We were all proud nations. But at the same time, I think like kind of a lot of people come to the United States to use because we've been in the news forever. And then they use our poverty. There's, you know, white nonprofits across the ocean that say they're collecting money for Pine Ridge. And then white people across the ocean are getting rich off of the sorrow of Pine Ridge, saying that they're helping them. And all out of all the money that they collect, how much money really goes to Pine Ridge?
Exactly. I know what you're talking about.
So how do we stop that? Because I've gotten mad and said, stop them trailers. Like I got into it with some guy in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, that was taking on something saying, oh, Pine Ridge, you know, they're poor Christmas time. They don't have nothing. Let's give them presents and pillows and blankets and scarves and hats. And yeah, let's keep the people warm. But at the same time, I told that guy, don't ask for hats and gloves. Ask for bed bug spray. Ask for laundry. Let's get some washer and dryers to people, housings way out in the middle of nowhere. Because then I think that even our own people set us up to fail because they put together these housing things and then they plop out 20 houses in the middle of nowhere. And then some of the people can't even get to the grocery stores because you're out in the middle of nowhere in a housing number two and there's no rides. But I mean, now Pine Ridge has like a van system that drives through the reservations, but I was trying to put together something with other artists to have raffles to try to put a laundry mat in one of these housings in the middle of nowhere in Pine Ridge. I was picking my district Porcupine out there, but all of them need to learn how to uplift our people, not sit there and wait for them. Oh, there's going to be all these churches that are going to bring in stuff. Not sit there and wait. Have these moms, yeah, I walk 7 miles from Evergreen Housing in Porcupine to, you know, to the convenience store. And then the convenience store is way overpriced with their goods. So then they're robbing their own people. But that the convenience store over at Sharps isn't, you know, owned by the tribe. It's owned by a white guy. And then, I don't know, there's just all these things. Yeah, we have all these issues. How do we fix it? But I see these things. Let's uplift our people, not say, let's give to the poorest county in the United States. I didn't like hearing that. Let's give, you know, nothing. And we have stuff. We were proud people. We don't need all that stuff. All the presents they bring in for the kids for Christmas, they're all over the housing in 2 weeks, broken down. The kids don't care about him. Let's get our mothers and our fathers to spend time with our kids with maybe a ball. One ball that costs 50 cents to play with your kids. No, they want the, you know, Barbie set or whatever it is, the stove and the whatever for the kids to play with, you know, the G.I. Joes for the boys. And just let the kids play. We're not interacting with our kids these days. We have to go back and care about our kids, not wait for Mattel toys to come and keep our kids entertained. That's what I get pissed off for. And the toys are all over. You know, we talk about being spirits of Mother Earth, but at the same time, our reservations are some of the dirtiest places in the world. Clean it up. Our houses are cleaning up our homes. Our reservations, what's around us. That's what I keep saying. We don't need to be out there trying to save Mother Earth when we need to save what's right here in front of us.
Thank you, Ursula. Area code 503, would you like to come on and say your name?
It's Lissa.
Who?
Kicking Woman from the Blackfeet Reservation.
Oh, welcome.
Sorry, I couldn't get through earlier. I kept trying, and then it finally just went through.
Oh, wow. Huh. Well, welcome.
But I'm in Montana right now, so that might be because my service is a little bit different where I'm at.
So you're on the road, huh?
Yeah, well, yesterday I didn't get off the plane until about 7 o'clock. Our plane was delayed a little bit.
Well, so what would you like to talk about? I know there's probably something.
There's a lot that I missed. But, you know, the biggest thing was, you know, we were talking earlier, it was about our men standing up, stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to gather something. We need to do maybe like, you know, how, you know, Jenny was planning on doing just a women's meeting, starting to, you know, bring something back.
Yeah.
And I think that doing that for men would be a good idea as well. You know, maybe do the old teachings of how the men, you know, were the providers. Not saying they have to be full providers again, but they should be protectors again.
Remind them of what their historical role was and should
yes,
be.
Like, you know,
mentally
and I know the world
changed.
Yeah, the world changed, you know, to where the women are also, you know, it's like a 50-50 thing, but I believe that the men need to remember, you know, you're supposed to be here to protect your families, your women, your children, you know, but it's not like that anymore.
No, it's not. You know, the fabric of colonialism is so deeply embedded in our people that, you know, it's pretty sad to watch.
It is. And
it really is,
you know.
Because you see our native men, they take on those European behaviors. They want you, you know, like they say things like, oh, well, these women are sacred, they're holy. And then at the same time, they're over here and, you know, they're being negative. So, you know, where can we get them the help that they need? Where can
mm-hmm.
be the medium somewhere?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean. Like, you know, they'll say something in front of you. Next thing you hear them with their friends and, you know, they're instead of sacred and holy, they're using bitch and whore.
Yeah. And even women, talk to other women. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really, this perturbs me quite a bit, and it really irritates me to no end when I hear Native women talking to other Native women that refer to them as bitches. No, we are not bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And that just
it's
really
degrading.
Gets me.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Very sad. And, you know, we shouldn't be doing that at all. And, I, you know, with the men, you know, there shouldn't be a woman waking up and handling if somebody's breaking into their home. You know, there shouldn't be women walking outside when there's something wrong, saying something, while the men sit down. Half
yeah,
the time you wonder who's the man. No, I just know. You know, that's how it feels.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I know what you're talking about. And it's sad to
and
see.
And there was a time, you know, I was 8 months pregnant with my daughter, and I literally almost fought another man because the guy wouldn't fight. And, you know, I don't know. It needs to change. We need to do something. Our men need to come together and remember what life is. It's not a music video. It's not, you know, they're drinking, they're drugging.
I remember 25, 30 years ago, where all across Montana, down in Wyoming, and Lord knows where else, where they had these men's gatherings where they were promoting healthy behaviors in men, Native men. And I don't know what that fell to the wayside. Never heard of it for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it started, but it never kept up. So, you know, I can look at it one or two ways. Either they didn't want to continue to put the energy into it for whatever reason, or, you know, that was just like a facade type thing.
Yeah.
Because
that's another thing is, you know, if we're going to, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we got to keep on with things instead of, you know, things that we start doing or, you know, like a lot of us, you know, and I'm even guilty of this before, was starting something and not continuing. You know, and it's because, you know, either somebody didn't show up or, you know, you start losing people, then you give up. But it's like, no, just do it harder, you know, make sure people know about everything. Even if it's just you one day, sit there and do the same thing, but keep it going. Don't give up on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, especially with, like, the drugs and alcohol, you know, like, that has to change everywhere. We have to get our people back.
So, Grandma Jenny, when do you think you would have a woman's gathering?
Oh, we're having our election time coming up on our reservation again, too, huh?
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping within the next 2 months, somewhere in there. Melissa, if you want to share with them, you know, kind of what's going on our reservation, as far as the missing, all the crime, all the corruption.
Are you talking to me, Jenny?
Yeah, you want to share a little bit what you know what's happening on our reservation?
So with a lot of it, like we mentioned before, it was the police. You know, it's getting worse from, you know, there's been shootings recently, and this was throughout the drug activity, and it has something to do with a lot of the suspects in 4 cases on the reservation. They're actually starting to shoot at each other right at the local stations, the gas stations, the convenience stores. But again, you know, because it's so easy to handle other things like, oh, there's a party over here. Let's just go bust that. Let's not worry about the shootings because, you know, we don't want to get more involved. You know, so that's where, you know, like I would like to put out there that in Washington, when, you know, a lot of the laws were were put out there, you know, right now we're going through I can't even say it, you guys. Anyway, tongue-tied. Right now we're the bill is going to be passed. I hope it's passed anyway, but it was for new police training, you know, trying to get them to understand state, tribal, you know, all police should be trained in every single one so they can do more, so we can do more on our reservation. Instead of just tribal police, you know, you can only handle this much, you know, then we have to call in BIA, then BIS to call in FBI. It shouldn't be like that anymore. I think more ground could be covered if we train everybody in all of it.
So I have a question. With all of the problems that are going on, do you have something in your community on your reservation, kind of like, remember back in the 70s, we had... what was the name of those people that used the Guardians or something like that? The Guardian Angels, maybe?
Oh, yes. You know, I've seen that, and I think that's going on in Langdon right now. When we went through there, they had people on every street, and they were, every time a car would go through, they would call out their license plate to each other. And it was throughout the reservation. And I actually put in, you know, I talked to the council about that, like trying to get somebody at each, you know, entrance of the reservation to kind of do the same thing. You know, it was all these tribal members with walkie-talkies and clipboards that knew who was coming in and out. And, of course, they didn't know about the funding. They didn't want to, you know, put more funding into that. But, you know, it was just taken away from their pockets, I believe.
Well, that's too bad.
Remember last year sometime there was a lady that was trying to donate the cameras to put at every entrance on a reservation,
yes,
to figure out, you know, who, what's really going on, who was doing all this, you know, and that's the thing that, you know, the or tribal council or law enforcement, they try to make it like seem like, you know, someone invisible is coming on a reservation and killing our people, and, you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
true. It's their own family members and grandchildren that are doing that today, you know? And
mm-hmm.
they all trying to hide it, you know? So,
you know, a lot of the activity that is happening is a lot of from our tribal council's homes.
Mm.
You know, and that's another big issue is, like I said before, you know, when we first, you know, talked about this was it's not what you know, it's who you know. Nothing's going to be done until we get that out of their minds, you know, out of their heads. Because they don't want their own families going down. They don't want to do anything. I mean, the law was passed how many years ago where it said that if you were caught with drugs and alcohol, you get convicted. You're supposed to be floated off the reservation for 20 years. I've only seen that happen once, and it was to a guy who wasn't even from a reservation. He got a lifetime floater off. Okay, why did it happen for him? And it was only 4 years ago when Ashley went missing. He was one of the suspects in her case. But why didn't they do it with all the other 50 that was convicted 5 years? So, see, nothing stays. Once they make a law, it's like, you know, it just depends on who the person is. That's the sad part. And that needs to, you know, we need to try to get that into a law. Like, if it's your family, you have no right to even say anything for them. You can't talk for them, you know, because it's a conflict of interest.
This is Rachel. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How many of our young boys and men's problems with respect from women start with the mothers?
How many
of them
start
mothers, with mothers? You see mothers drinking, drugging. They see men coming into their mother's life, beating on them. This is where our young boys and men are losing respect for the women because they see it being done to their mother. So what influences they are growing up with, they see, and that's what they acquire, and that's the way they act. So how do we reverse that? How much of it does it start with the mothers?
That's a good question. I never really thought about that.
Really? Because if you want a good son, you be a good mother. You want a good daughter, you be a good mother.
But then you invite people to your homes, you don't know they're going to be like that either. You know what I mean? Like, so it has to, there has to be balance somewhere.
We need to reach out to our women and try to get our women out of that, falling into these abusive relationships and these addictive relationships. And it's hard for children when they are raised.
We can't, Rachel, we just can't focus on the women, period. Because
yes,
in order to make a child, you have to have a male involved in
yes.
that. And so
yes,
where
that's
are
right.
these men? Where
that's
are these
right.
men?
The men
what
are there.
What are we going to do to make them accountable for all of that? For their behavior, for their actions.
They are the responsible.
Their parenting, their role in parenting.
That's right, because they didn't see it growing up, because they didn't have both figures in their lives for the positivity to be taught to them. Our children are seeing. I took my children out of an alcohol relationship because of what was going on. I didn't want my kids seeing that. Thank God I didn't have a son, because maybe my son would have saw that being done to me with the alcoholism and the abuse, and he would have turned out the same way. But yes, it takes two figures, but when you see two figures, male and female, and they're both doing those things, our children learn that that's the normalcy. That's just normal.
Yeah, but, you know, to first put women at it, you know, it's not like I was with a person for 11 years that has never once hit me, and then after 11 years, he did, you know, and, you know, and my kids grew up around him. So, you know, it was really hard on everybody, you know, especially in our lives, because I left and I never went back.
Yeah,
but
I had to make that decision too.
And he grew up around that. His, you know, the reason why, and he was good for 11 years, but it was mainly the drugs. It wasn't because, you know, I mean, he never hit anybody because he's seen it happen to his mother. So it can be, it's both ways, you know?
Well, those
kids
turn to drugs because of what's going on in the homes. These kids are turning to drugs because they are seeing what's going on in the homes. That's why I took my daughters out of that.
But, you know, I was on drugs, and I don't blame my parents for it, you know? Like, I chose to, you know, get high. It wasn't my home life. I mean, I had a really bad home life, you know, but it wasn't my home life that made me want to do drugs. You know, it wasn't my dad's fault. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was me. So, you know, I think what it is, though, is it's easily there. It's ready, you know?
Yeah, this
it's
day
always,
and time
it's always
it is.
There.
I took my oldest child out of alcoholism. And when drugs started getting real bad and I brought her back to Oklahoma to get her away from that, and lo and behold, she got on it anyway. Even when I spoke to her and taught her, stay away from that stuff. It's no good.
Well, now you wonder, you know, so now, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not the females. You know, and that's where we have to, you know, because if I had two parents, but I didn't have a mother and father, you know. Like, I, you know, my uncle took care of me. And, you know, and I can tell you right now, like, I had the best life. You know, I might have been around drugs and alcohol and abuse my whole life, but he raised me good, really good.
Oh, that's
yes,
good.
I got
you
drugs,
were fortunate.
But that was my choice, you know? I was molested until I finally turned in the child molester. I was raped at a very young age by somebody who said he was my dad's best friend. And I, you know, they told me I'd never have kids. Well, I have my kids, you know, and it's like my life was bad. It was really bad. I mean, there was times where even to this day, I still feel like, I'm going through a lot. But, you know, the only way to change it is to try to help others and to learn from my life. You know, and that's what I want to do. I want to try to bring that back, you know, take all your negative and make it positive.
Yeah, I had, you know, had a daughter, you know, that started to get into that, and she came to me with her friends one night when she had a meltdown, and I got a hold of her, and I told her that too, you know, you can't be self-destructing yourself this way. And to today, she's a single mom, she's got two daughters, and she raised them on her own.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was a five kids. I think I just got with guys to have kids because they didn't stay. No. You know, because it's a lot of women taking care of their own now.
Yeah.
But
it's just even if it's not the parents, if the parents are in their own cycle of hurt and pain that leads to that type of behavior, God, there's got to be somebody who can step in and pull those kids away from that. And teach them the right way. And
I think that's
maybe,
what we all need to come
maybe.
In. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many young generation that want to
help. My daughter was, you know, my daughter was seeing me get abused. She was watching her dad go drinking. He was putting her in the car. I had to make the choice. I got to get away from this. Got to get her away from this.
Excuse me. So how do we correct this problem? Where do we start? Where do we begin to put the pieces back together?
We all got to pull together with these other kids and try to get this ICWA out of the picture and try to everybody come together and somebody just take these kids and bring them up the right way. And as you're teaching them, like I say, I think the best thing that could be done is not – I think Jenny was saying she did it. She took them out of the white man's school. Keep them as far away from that. Tell them, stay away from this. Don't go near this.
Yeah, this
all
is
over.
Jenny. You know,
but you know, we
hold on,
we can't
Rachel. Hold on here, Rachel, hold on. You know, you first trying to put the blame on us women. That's not good. That's not good to say that. Huh? Because a lot of our people have went through a lot through many years since the white man got here. And if it's really the blame on the woman, then I blame the effing white woman then for all what happened to her people. She should have corrected her kids. Hmm?
That's right. They do too out here. It's not just the native people.
The white man school ain't teaching them really anything. You even hear it from the children. You hear it from the children. Hmm? Teach them.
I know that. I went to that white man's school.
You have the knowledge that, you know, you can pass on to them that was given to you. Pass it on to your grandchildren and your children and what. You, I don't know where you sit at as far as traditions and all, because it sounds like you don't really know many.
I told you all that. Hey, where you been, Jenny? I have told you people I don't know. But I do know one thing is I try to do everything right with my kids.
Our ways. You don't really know our ways, period. Hmm?
I don't. I never claimed to do.
Okay, so you should never, ever talk down on the women over it, because it's not our fault.
I'm talking about people all over. I'm not just talking about Native women. I'm talking about white people out here, too. I see this out here with the white people, how they treat their kids.
But, no, I raised my children, too, and I taught them what I want them to learn about what's happening in this world, not what the white man wants to put in their head, like tried to put in my head, you know?
I just said that concerning you, what you did.
Need to wake up. They need to wake up. But a lot of things you say, yeah. You could talk and all that, make it sound all good, you know, about things. But a lot of things, I don't agree with you. Hmm?
Well, that's fine. But did I single you out and say you did wrong? I'm saying there's mothers out here that are doing. There's parents that are doing wrong. And it's not just a race thing. It's even white people out here who are doing this to their own kids, too.
Well, that's where it all came from.
No, you know, you're right. I know.
Suffering for something that should have never happened. You know, a lot of things that are happening today, so a lot of people are really small-minded when they talk. Hmm? But I wish I could just grab a gun and go shoot them. Huh? But I can't. Why? Why do I want to go sit in their jail for something that I was speaking the truth about, you know? But no, I don't like that one. You know, it's bad enough our own men talk bad on us today and what, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking in general. We got to face
that.
There's parents that ain't taking care of their kids.
Yeah, but we can't shelter our kids from the outside world.
You don't have to shelter them.
What
we're trying
to do is we're trying to gather them to learn everything, to be able to survive on the inside and the outside. You know, because, and I believe, like how you said, how can we do that? What we can do is we all see that there's something wrong going on. There's something wrong everywhere on our reservations, on the outside. You know, they're still finding the same thing they find on the reservation. The only reason why it's such a big deal is because reservations were meant to be this little secluded area where then you go there, it looks that bad. But, you know, it's even worse in the cities. But see, what we have to do is if we're going to change that, we're going to have to gather
everything. Nobody can say anything about the reservations.
Huh?
This is what I'm saying. A lot of these problems are out here right here in the white man's faces, too, with their own children. That's why their children are disrespectful with them.
If we want change, we're going to have to show them that we can unite. And I brought this up the first day, was that we're going to have to gather. I called out for, 10 people from each reservation. Let's gather, do a march. Let's show them that unity can happen still. Not that, you know, we can say this has to happen and then not do shit about it. You know, we can all talk, you know, but can we do it? Yes, we can. We can do this. We can unite and show even our youth that we can be united. That it could still happen. There's still hope, you know, to not fall back into that, to not fall back into the drugs, the alcohol, you know, to think that, oh, yeah, your mom and dad are selling you, but that's normal. No, it's not. None of that's normal. But, you know, the only way we're going to change it is by showing them that unity can still happen.
I just think the whole world's gone back, because even out here, you've got a number of parents. Both parents are out here strung out. It's not just on the reservations. It's out here, too. And what do these kids do? They grow up. They disrespect their parents. They become hooligans. They become disrespectful to each other. You hear the white people out here, the white boys calling women bitches and hoes. Bros before hoes. It's all over.
And that's where, you know, like I said, we're going to have to change up, or we're going to have to do it by by them seeing it happen. You know,
I just heard a white kid tell his father to go fuck off. Kid's 7 years old. What the hell is going on with our society?
Yeah, and I've heard a kid call his mother a cunt in the store, or his grandmother, and I beat the shit out of him right in the store. You know, I'm like, no, you're going to go up there and you're going to respect her. You know, and sometimes, you know, it takes a lot to, it takes a village, you know, no matter what village you're at. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of us to make that change. You know, so if we want change, and it's not, you know, most of us, I wasn't raised by my parents. You know, my dad died when I was 9. He was hit by a log. He died. You know, my mom was doing her own thing. And so, you know, my uncle, my dad's brother, he came in and took me at 2 months old. You know, but I still, you know, I still lived a very good life with him. He was everything I could have asked for and plus more. But I still went through a lot. And so it's not just the parents' fault, because I would have, you know, I would have hoped that even if it was a later life, they would have still gave me to the same person. Or if I came back again, I hope I was his still. You know, but it doesn't matter. It's you know, it was a man who molested me. It was a man who raped me. I was 11 years old, almost 12. You know, and it was bad. I was in the hospital for a long time. You know, so it's not because, it wasn't because of my mother. It wasn't because of me watching them drink or do drugs. My dad didn't drink. He didn't do drugs. You know, so that wasn't, it wasn't him, but it was everybody around me. It was all the young men in our family partying, and then shit happened. You know, but that doesn't define who I am. It doesn't define what I've done. The choices I made, it made me just a person I am. And I'm not saying that, you know, it was the best thing, but it helped me to help others.
Okay, we have 7 minutes.
Kids just need to know that they still mean something to the world. Because that's one thing that we're not doing, is we're not reminding them that there's somebody here. You know, and a lot of them don't have that, somebody to tell them that there's somebody. Instead, they're only defined by their drugs and alcohol.
Well, you know, Lisa, that's the mentality of the white people. They look down on our people for being alcoholic, drugs, you know, a bunch of uneducated, dirty people. You know, I know the white woman's mentality because I lived around them. I had to fight them all the time in Oregon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at today, we have a lot of our traditional spiritual people that speak the language, but their children don't. That's kind of awkward, you know. Huh?
Yeah.
And then their children are out doing all these drugs and alcohol and what, you know. So sometimes, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, what is it? And it's that own individual choice.
Yeah.
Well, my grandpa was a preacher. My grandpa was a preacher and spiritual and peyote. But he didn't give two rats shit about my dad teaching his dad that language. But he'd go shake that rattle. And he could go out there and preach at the white man's church. Yeah, I know that.
Well,
just
a lot
our
of
language,
our people,
but...
men today, a lot of our people, men today, are out there using all of this and to get the you know, some of our, to pick up relationships, to get relationships with women and stuff. You know, that's known on our reservation, huh? So those people, you know, they could talk all language, tradition, anything and everything they want, but where they failed, it's when they got with a white woman.
That's what my grandfather did, too. That's right. That's exactly what my grandfather did.
We have 5 minutes left in the show, lady.
So, that's why I don't sound traditional. Yeah, I don't know my tradition because my grandpa didn't stick around to teach us.
Exactly the point today. No, they don't stick around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. They're off and running.
Yeah, and everybody
on
wants to get on everybody else. Well, you know, that's the reason why I'm not traditional. And people can get mad and say you don't agree with me, but that's my reason, because Grandpappy didn't stick around. He knocked three white women up and then headed out of town.
well, I mean, you
yeah.
know, that's...
Our traditions are not supposed to be about hurting women. And that's what they turned it into. They turned it into another way to make money for themselves. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's hurting us. That's really hurting us. You know? But they all seem to like money more than life itself, because a lot of them are not even trying to come together for the sake of their own people, the existence of their own people today. They're all fighting each other. Who knows more than each other and what, you know? That's
yep.
not helping us.
That's why I've been trying to turn to women, because my own grandpa was one of those people. That's why I've been trying to find somebody to talk to. And, you know, I get attacked because I don't sound traditional. Not my fault. My grandfather didn't stick around and take an interest to do that.
3 minutes, ladies.
Well,
is
I just want to say that I believe that we need to try to, you know, stick up with the, you know, what Jenny wants to do with the women gathering. We need
yes.
to find some men interested in doing their part, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a men's gathering. And regardless, try, you know, your tribal affiliation, like, just teach them all, you know, teach all the ways. You know, make them, you know, make the youth know that they still matter. They still have time. I don't care how old you are. You still have time to go back to school to do something good. You know, give them hope instead of taking the
I
hope
think
away, you know?
Those kids that are you know, kind of lost and what, they need to be
mm-hmm.
brought back to be taught our teachings about who they are. So help them to understand who they are in this world, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of pushing them back into a school, which really ain't about it. Huh? How are we going to
yeah,
help these younger
out.
Generations that are totally lost? You got to teach them. Teach them about who they are. Huh?
Yeah.
That's why we're trying so hard to bring, you know, our people back to the ceremony, you know?
2 minutes.
It's time to go back, you know?
Well, I'm going to leave here tonight. I'm not attacking nobody on this show. I'm upset with my life because I didn't get raised being taught the way I should have. I am bitter about that.
You know, and I understand that, but, you know, there's still time to get back into your culture. There's still time to learn. You know, even if you learn half of it, I mean, I know you would feel a lot better.
Spent all my yeah. years of my life getting the shit kicked out of me by these white people from the time I was 6 years old up until about 7 years ago, fed up with it. But when you try to turn to your own and you get attacked, you don't sound traditional, I don't agree with you, you don't agree with me because I ain't traditional because I didn't agree traditional.
90 seconds, ladies. 90 seconds.
All right, well,
all right,
I guess we can
I
talk
say, I love
about
you guys
things
and...
next week.
We just have to start changing everything. We got to start doing.
Yeah. There's a
I
lot that
all,
we need
and...
to start doing.
Yes.
But I won't let no man, you know, try to stop me because, you know, the man shouldn't even be trying to stop us. They should be supporting us, huh?
You know,
mm-hmm.
they should be protecting us while we're, you know, no matter what we're doing, they should be around there to watch, to keep everybody safe.
All right. Well, I guess we're almost ready to say goodnight, huh?
Yep. 30 Uh-oh. Seconds.
Okay. I love you all. And
okay. Good night.
Hey, Rachel and Jenny.
And we'll see you next Friday and next
yeah, I love
Saturday.
You okay, ladies.
Good night.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm the youngest one on here.